Throughout our history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Morena, how are you,
Good
Rob?
Good morning. Thanks for that. I'm actually really quite honoured to be lumped in with everybody today.
Well, you are a great artist.
Thank you very much.
What are we talking about on the Mind Trench?
This is Nature, What's All That About?
What's All That About? One of my favourite subsections.
This one, I don't know. I know it's really great learning everything, but sometimes I wonder, do we really need to know everything?
Some mysteries, maybe they're best left as mysteries.
Anyway, a few species in the animal kingdom can change the size of their brain.
Whoa.
Fewer still can change it back to its original size. Now, first off, what?
Is this like when you're little and you pull a face and your mum's like, if the wind changes, that's what your face is going to look like? Do some like animals' mums say to them, if you make your brain bigger, it's going to stay like that, so don't, you know,
do it. I would have thought
it.
Making your brain bigger would have been better for you because then you'd have been cleverer. But then, you know, you can't have it too big because it'd start coming out your nose and stuff. So, but anyway, so I thought, first off, there's so much stuff going on. And then I looked at brains, and just a quick side note here, I found out that leeches have got 32 brains.
Leeches?
A leech's internal structure is segregated into 32 separate segments, and each one of them has a brain.
Holy
heck. You imagine if they was just a blob. They'd rule the world because they'd have 32 brains.
I think there's a book about that. Someone text in if you know the book. Is it a Morris G book that I'm thinking of? Under the Mountain. Is that a Morris G book?
And they've got these big leeches. Rule the world.
Well, there's these big leeches that live under the mountain. And I remember them giving me like huge nightmares when I was kids. So this is tapping into
some
freakiness for me.
Anyway, researchers in America have found the first insect species with that ability, the Indian jumping ant.
Right? Oh.
Typically, whether an ant will be a worker or a queen is decided at the larval stage, right? If fed generously and given the right hormones, the ant has a chance to become a queen. If not, it's stuck as a sterile worker. We've all seen the movies.
We have.
Basically, that's what happens, you know what I mean? And they don't have the ability to switch, unlike the Indian jumping ant. I learned so much about ants the other day.
It's something you think of that often.
No, I sat there afterwards on a step having a vape. And don't do that, kids, if you're listening. Drinking a cup of tea. And there was just like this line of ants going backwards and forwards. And I sat there for ages just looking at them.
They're pretty amazing.
Yeah, anyway, social insects such as ants typically inhabit a caste-based society. The queen raises a sole reproducer and secretes pheromones that stop female worker ants from laying eggs. First off, this image of a queen, I always think of Queen Victoria or Queen Elizabeth.
It's probably quite a good image.
But these ants, all they do is just lay eggs. They don't do anything else. The image of royal family, I don't know, people with silver trays and that, like little wigs and all
that. Have you ever seen a queen ant compared to a normal ant?
Oh, they're huge.
It's so weird.
They're huge.
It looks wrong. It looks like someone's playing a trick on you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that's just a little thought I had when I was reading this on the train. Maybe I'll look out the window a bit more, actually, than that thing.
Regal ants.
But unlike other colonies that wither away and at the death of their queen, Indian jumping ant colonies are basically immortal.
Whoa!
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh,
how does that work?
God.
Well, within hours of the colony's queen dying, it's all on, right? And all the worker... well, this is my interpretation of it. All the worker ants engage in fierce duels that involve them jamming their antennae into the other ants' faces, and it can last up to a month.
Jousting.
Absolutely horrible. Anyway, the chosen workers, knowing what I'm talking about here. The chosen workers are the multitaskers who can duel and activate their ovaries at the same time. They produce a pheromone that compels the rest of the colony to treat them as royalty.
Far out.
So the winner does all that.
They have like a chemical that they put out there and they're like, I am the queen.
I am the queen, right?
You
it also increases their life expectancy from about 6 months to 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
God, that seems like a long time for an ant.
But you wouldn't be 5 years. Their ovaries swell to five times their size, filling their entire abdomen, and their brains shrink anywhere between 20 and 25. 25%.
Wait, the brain shrinks.
The brain shrinks.
Oh, that doesn't sound like grow.
Sounds like not a good time to be the queen.
Yeah, that's good. So what researchers did, they removed the new queen from two colonies, and they put them in a plastic little box and fed them for a couple of weeks. And the researchers hypothesised the lack of social interaction and care would reduce the queen back to a worker status. And when they introduced them to the formal colony, that's exactly what happened. They stopped producing eggs, and over the next 2 weeks, they started displaying normal worker behaviour.
It's very classist.
And when roughly 6 weeks later, they were dissected, the internal organs and brain had returned to their ordinary worker proportions.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's all going on while we're walking about doing stupid stuff that don't really matter. All this stuff's going on.
Well, we're
on.
Doing that. Ants are growing and shrinking and moving up classes and down classes. And
That really did my head in. For first off, who sat there one day and thought, oh, I wonder if things like brains get bigger and smaller? We'll have to have a look at that.
Let's go check that one out.
That must have been a real fun time at Smoko. And run out of stuff to talk about.
He's sitting in there and he's like, I've had this thought.
There's nothing good on the telly the night before.
Hear me out.
What if brains got bigger?
Yeah.
And sometimes they got smaller.
Yeah. So there you go.
Nature. What's all that about, eh?
Will we ever know?
Don't know. Got a poem.
Got a poem for us. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Introducing the Bard of Bollocks. You dig? Take it away.
Well, I'll let you be the judge of whether it's a poem or not.
Ooh, okay.
I wrote this morning on the train, and it's... I had to rewrite it. Right, it's called The Four Seasons, and I've done a tribute to Pulp Fiction by not doing it in the right order.
Oh, okay, nice.
So, autumn. Just love autumn, it's the best. From crispy mornings to digging out my thermal vest. I really struggle with summer's humidity and heat. It's my least favourite season. Especially the occasional swelling of my feet. Winter, of course, is a complete and utter nause, and I don't think it gets that cold. I'll tell you the main cause. Rain, 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 and when it goes away, it comes back again. Bit of a tribute to MR there, if you was wondering.
Hey.
Spring's all right. It's like autumn in reverse. Nature really is the best. Oh, yeah, spring is when I put away my thermal vests. Thank
nice.
You.
Yay. It's definitely a poem.
Snaps.
Snaps for poetry.
Love autumn.
I love autumn too. I dug out my thermal vest this morning and then regretted it because it's not actually
that
cold.
Oh, yeah, what happens is you put it on when it's really cold, and when I'm on the way home, you're just...
sweating.
No good at all.
That's Auckland for you. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bollocks, only on 95 BFM.
All right, this is a bit of...